Colleen and I were blessed to get away this last week, and we went over into some parts of Montana and Idaho and did some camping. And, you know, it's amazing. There are certain times and situations where you can just kind of hear God better. And I think God is always on this pursuit of a deeper and more intimate relationship with us. He's looking for ways to engage us, and I think we ought to always be striving and looking for ways to engage Him and pursue Him. We were on went over a pass, and we pulled off and looked out at the mountain ranges and the beauty of God's creation. You can't help just be awestruck by the great God that we have. And sitting around a campfire, just in the silence and enjoying the sound of the river and the fire popping. And there are times like that too that I think where you can be confronted with life and think about very strategic, significant things that sometimes in our busyness back home we just don't. But there you can think, you know, what's life all about? What am I doing? Are we on track? Do we need a course correction, Lord? And evaluating, asking God, His Spirit, His Word to evaluate us. There's all kinds of ways, I guess, that can happen. Faith teaches a class downstairs here, one of the kids' classes. And I don't know if you noticed last week the huge ears that those kids had. And they came up, they had a headband that these big, huge ears were attached to, and they're walking around with just ginormous ears. And I'm not sure what the theme was, but I'm thinking maybe hearing God better. But I loved those ears. They were so great. How do we hear God better? The Church of God Seventh Day does not teach that Christians are obligated to observe the feast days. However, in this congregation and in some others, there are those that observe the feast days, but we do believe that in those days there is great significant riches and teaching that we don't want to ignore or overlook. It's interesting about this particular day that I'm going to touch on a little bit this morning, and that is that it's a bit ambiguous, not only in its name, but in its purpose. And there's a lot of ideas and things that have been attached to it, and some of them probably have great validity, and others, you know, I'm not so sure, but it's very worthy to look at. And I want to read to you, this is Leviticus 23, verse 24, and it says, "In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation." There's a place there that I think we're able to hear. That's one of these sweet spots, I think, that we can hear the Lord. And I want us to look, this blowing of trumpets, it's zikuon turah. It's the blowing of the trumpets. And then a parallel verse is Numbers 29:1. And that one says, "In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, for you it is a day of blowing of the trumpets." And so a day of blowing, it's Yom Terah. And in this, I think, is one of these, there's all kinds of different ways that we can hear, but this is, I think, one of them, and things like this, even things that we can create as a family or as an individual, ways that we can come up where we can shout out to God and cry out to God, sometimes in celebrating and praising Him, and other times just crying out to Him for His intervention and His transformation and so forth. I want to read a little bit more of that text. We'll go back to Leviticus 23, and I'm going to read verses 23 through 25. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord.'" So there's at least six things I think we could look at there that are encouragement or that create a context for us to not only hear God, but cry out to God with a shout, with a trumpet, if you will, whether of our voice or with an instrument. One is, you know, it's an appointed day, a specific time that this is laid down in. And then there's this Sabbath rest, no work, to cast aside all your normal cares and routines, the typical things that you do, and take time to focus in on Him. And then it's a memorial. It mentions a memorial, remembrance. And I think that is very important, that we're remembering the past, remembering what God has done and who He is, and also looking to the future. And there's this blowing of trumpets, and you might say, well, I don't own a shofar, I don't own a silver trumpet, what should I do? Well, I think there's ways that we can do some of those same things. We can cry out, we can make a loud noise, we want to we're seeking God's attention, His favor, His blessing, His presence, His power. And so it's a way that we can find, I think, all kinds of ways to do that. And then a holy convocation. There's this gathering of people that's so important. And isn't it in that context often that we're sharpened? We hear things about a verse or a passage that we haven't thought about before. Someone shares a struggle that they're having, and we say, oh, yes, I'm going through that same thing right now. Or we hear how that God brought them through to the other side, and we think, oh, praise God, there's hope maybe for me too. But this is the gathering of the body of Christ, the gathering of God's people, the great things and healing and the moving of God's Spirit can be such a blessed thing. And then there was an offering to God. And I think the offering we give to God can be in a lot of different ways. So in the context of these six things, I think there is to be a certain stirring of the soul that can happen. And as I mentioned, there's a feeling of, as you read some of these passages, is that there is a feeling of looking back, a feeling of thanksgiving, and then there is a feeling of looking forward with praise and hope as well. I want to give you some ways that the trumpet of God, or the trumpet is used, trumpet of God, and even our own trumpet, if you will, is used in various ways. And as I read, as we go through these, here's what I would like you to do. I would like you to see, because what I want to focus in on is how we see Christ in some of these. How is He pictured? How can we relate it to what Christ has accomplished, will accomplish, and the picture of the future that we have with Christ? And so this first one is found in Exodus 19:19. And so in this one, it's when the Ten Commandments were given to God's people. And Exodus 19:19 says, "And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice." And in the second one, this is Joshua 6:20, and it's a story we're familiar with, the Battle of Jericho. It says, "So the people, when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great voice that the wall fell down flat." The wall fell down flat. Have you ever been in a situation where you were just backed up to the wall in a sense? You know, you had something weighing over your head so significant, so weighty that you just, it was so beyond what you could ever think you're going to get through. You're never going to get over this wall. The wall is never going to come down. And it is in that moment maybe that you are so hard-pressed and you realize that you are so hopeless in and of yourself that you cry out to God with a loud voice. And I think it is there that we often get that breakthrough, that the wall comes down. And we heard a testimony, a little video clip downstairs in her class about a woman who struggled growing up and began to believe that she was supposed to be a man. And she began going through setting herself up for surgeries and taking medications and so forth, began to change her body. But there came a point where she had this vision from Christ. She was trying everything, but she still, down deep inside, knew that God had created her as a woman. And so she continued to struggle with that. But there was a point where she had this vision of Christ reaching out. And she knew that if she reached out and grabbed his hand, that she would have to step away from this life that she had created. She would have to leave her partner, leave her job, leave her surroundings, leave everything that she had become comfortable in and all the support that she had had, and follow Christ fully. And I think it's at those moments when the essence of who we are is shook, that we can cry out to God and with a great shout. She had a breakthrough, and I think it's there that we can get the breakthrough as well. This next one is Zechariah 9:14. It says, Israel advised of the advent of Messiah. And it just reads, then the Lord will be seen over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord God will blow the trumpet and go with whirlwinds from the south. There's the trumpet of God is connected, you know, with the second coming of Christ over and over again in Scripture. This next one is Isaiah 27:13, a time of gathering the exiles of Israel, and it says, "So it shall be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown, and they will come, who are about to perish in the land of Assyria." And they who are outcasts in the land of Egypt, and they shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain of Jerusalem. Next one is Judges 3:27. And it's there were certain blasts that was meant to be an assembly for war. You know, we're at war, something is going to happen, we're under attack, and there would be a sound that was blown, letting the people know. And it says, and it happened when he arrived that he blew the trumpet in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mountains, and he led them, and he said to them, follow me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And again, please be thinking of how we could see a picture of Christ and his rescuing and his fighting for us and all of these that I'm reading to you. Next one is Ezekiel 33:2, being a watchman on God's on the wall for God. And make him their watchman when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people. You know, being in tune with the Word of God, being in tune with the Spirit of God, having our eyes open, being sensitive to what's happening around us, what's happening in us, in our family, in our marriage, in the church, in our community, so much so that we're able to be God's watchman on the wall. But that all stems from an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, with the Spirit of God, with the Word of God. This next one is Leviticus 25:9, and it was the start of the year of Jubilee. It says, then you shall cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. A lot of these we could talk about, but I'd like you to struggle with them a bit yourself. The next one is Psalm 47:5, just a reminder that God is sovereign. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with a sound of a trumpet. Have you been in a situation where God becomes so real to you that God has gone up with a shout, that the Lord sounds a trumpet, that he catches your attention? And again, it's usually when our back's against the wall, when we're struggling. Those are usually the times when God's presence is so real to us and we're not distracted by all the good things, supposed good things of life. The next one is in Numbers 10:10, and just announces the beginning of the festivals, appointed times. It says, also in the day of your gladness and your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before God. I am the Lord your God. Just a couple more. 1 Kings 1:34, just the coronation, the installation, if you will, of kings. And it says, there let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel and blow the horn and say, long live King Solomon. And certainly that is one we can tie to our Lord Jesus Christ, and really I think all of these. The next one is Joel 2:1. It's ushering in the day of the Lord. It says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand." 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And just sounding the trumpet, the resurrection, the gathering at the second coming of Christ, gathering of the dead in Christ. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." We'll read that text again a little later. The last one, Revelation 8. This is the judgment of God. "And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." I want to read some pictures of Christ. I want you to continue to think about those that we read and how they would relate to Christ. And then I want to, as we read these will, of course, are very much more clear. There's some clarity in these. This is Luke 1, Zacharias, Luke 1, verse 67. "And when his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David.'" And then verse 70 goes on. It says, "And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of the enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest." Zacharias prophesying before the babe Christ. "For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace." Our Lord Jesus Christ, in a sense, is a horn of salvation. And you know, the horns of an animal, we see, you know, the power of an animal, but with the horn as well, there is a proclamation, the way we're talking about it today. And so I think the horn of salvation in regards to Jesus Christ here talks of both power and proclamation. Some beautiful pictures of what God has accomplished through Jesus Christ. This is Ephesians 1, starting with verse 17. And it says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." And going on, verse 19 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him on high at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Amen. Philippians 2:9 says, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him," Christ, "and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." 1 Peter 3:22, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to him. And then we read a little bit of this earlier, but 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning with verse 13, says, you know, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Verse 14 says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord, and so comfort one another with these words. And these are some of the passages in the Bible that carry such great hope. I think that blare, that sound, the trumpet of God, and call our attention to what's coming, lest we grow weary in this life and the things that our bodies are facing and our minds and our hearts and our struggles. This is the great hope that we have. 1 Corinthians 15, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality. And then finally, in Revelation, and this is Revelation 19, and I'm going to read verses 11 through 16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Verse 14 says, and the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you feel like oftentimes we're just so either caught in the mundane or caught in life's rat race, running on the treadmill day after day, and that we lose sight of what not only God has done, but what he is doing, and the eternity which is coming, the greatness of the eternity which is coming, and that the very center and core of all of that is Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to find ways to sound that trumpet, to cry out to God in praise and thanksgiving and for hope of what lies ahead for all of us. So, a memorial of blowing, zikuon turah, a memorial of blowing trumpets, a day of blowing, right, yom turah. So my challenge is for you to find ways, to find times, to look back at the greatness and the delivery of our God, his redemption and his power and his transformation and his character and his truth and his righteousness, and be in awe of that and be in thanksgiving of that. And at the same time, looking forward that there is coming a trumpet blast, there is coming a day. our Lord Jesus Christ will come back. There will be a second coming. This is not a fairy tale. This is not something that someone made up. This is true. This will happen. This will happen. And so let us not lose sight. Let us have an anxious anticipation and hearts full of praise and full of hope that this is going to take place. And let us find times and ways to celebrate that. Psalms 89:15 says, "Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound, the Torah. They shall, O Lord, walk in the light of your countenance." So Jesus is the trumpet of God in a sense. He is the horn of our salvation in a sense. He is our great warrior king who has defeated the enemies of God, who has delivered us from the bondage of sin, the bondage of Egypt. And he will come and lay claim on us. He will lay claim on his bride. We will be united with the Lord Jesus Christ. We, the church, his children, and he will truly be our all in all for all of time. He will truly be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Find time to proclaim that, to rest in that, to have your faith increased in these truths. Find ways to sound the trumpet.